Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts. Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and Hosanna are here today, and we're continuing in maybe Philippians 4. I'm laughing because we don't get very far as if you've been tuning in, but it's all good. You know, so here's what I was thinking now. Paul is challenging them, you know, and constantly and encouraging them. And now he's following up with the theme of this whole chapter. And he says it 12 times in this book, rejoice.
It's so beautiful. Yes. I love this. And it's my verse for the years, rejoice.
My daughter's rejoice. Is joy.
Yeah, and the Dean of Men's is joy.
Is it?
And this morning I was praying for our team. I have everybody's name listed and I have their word for the year. And, you know, it's not a daily that I'll pray their word for them, but often I will. And this morning I was just going through and I was praying over their words and over them. And I thought, I'm going to just flat out ask the team, how have you been challenged? Because I pray their words specifically for them. But then I pray all of the words over the entire team. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you know, what's God been teaching you? How has he been meeting you with these words? And I just think on myself with the word rejoice. I was so thankful that God put that in me before I got injured so that I could constantly remember to rejoice. Because it's such a gift.
It's hard to, yes.
And so it is told 12 times, but in this one, this particular verse, it's told, the actual word rejoice is used twice. And Zana is going to read for us in Philippians verses, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5.
It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near.
Ooh, so good. There's so much in this. Uh-huh. Oh my goodness, you guys, there's so much here. I like sat here, I think, for 3 or 4 days when I was doing my study preparation on this one, just because, one, it's the word rejoice, but two, I sat down one day, I almost started crying, and I thought, I'm gonna list out all the reasons of God that I have to rejoice. Mm. And I was just going to go through and just make out. And so I started writing down different aspects of God's character. And I'm like, oh, these are good, but I can't forget these. And then I started writing more and I was like, but you can't forget these. And so, you know, it's like savior and deliverer and sustainer and keeper. And I just kept going. And then all of a sudden I wrote in my journal, it's like, God, honestly, I could not sit and write long enough. Mm. To write the reasons that we have for rejoicing. And because the question I had asked myself, what are the reasons we have to rejoice? So right now, Sandy and Zana, just give me a couple of reasons you have to rejoice.
Well, I think his grace and his faithfulness, you know, his ever presence. There's so many. I mean, it would go on and on and on.
Yeah, and just like the way he uses other people around you to convey a message. Mm. He's not just an emotion. I think sometimes it's really easy to get that, but like he uses other people and just very obvious and vivid things mm-hmm. to communicate a message, which is really blessed.
Yeah. So I also put, you know, that he's present, but mm-hmm. I wrote down for this, I was just like, okay, just let me just put three. I had a really long list in my journal. God never changes. Mm-hmm. And that is so rock solid.
Well, you know, everything that's going on in the world today and all the politics and all that, I keep telling people, God's in control.
Yeah.
You know, we got to remember he is the one in control, not anybody else.
Right.
You know,
right.
We let the world tell us that they're in control.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He never changes. I put down, no matter what in this life, his characteristics never change. Mm. So not only does how he acts, but his character never changes. So I can trust if God's character was this way with somebody in the Old Testament, I can trust his character mm-hmm. will be that way with me. And I just find such security in that when I feel my world is changing or I feel the circumstances are out of control. And then that they're always available. Always.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's on this chapter, it's talking about anxiousness, you know.
Yeah.
And so we can very easily, maybe I shouldn't say we, get anxious until I have to step back and figure out, okay, why am I anxious? I have nothing to be anxious about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. So I did a Google search. I wanted to find out. So according to @BibleKnowingJesus.com, there are 62 verses about rejoicing mm-hmm. that they pulled up that actually have like rejoice, joy, joyce. Actually, I think it was actually just the word rejoice. And so I chose a few select ones that I wanted us just to read, just to allow the Word of God to minister to us. So I'm going to have, would you open up, Zanna, to 1 Corinthians 13:6? And Sandy, I'm going to have you go to Isaiah 29:19. And we'll just talk on each one as we do it and just reflect on what rejoicing in God looks like. Okay, so go ahead, 1 Corinthians 13:6.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
So rejoicing with truth. I don't know. It, seeing truth, knowing truth, and celebrating truth. You think of the Proverbs that says that when an evil king reigns, you know, something to this effect, you know, that the people, you know, feel burdened or heavy. But when a good and righteous king reigns, the people delight. Mm. The reason is because it's about justice. And so my translation, I looked it up, it says, does not rejoice about injustice. What did yours use? You remember? At 13:6.
Evil.
Evil. Okay, so evil, injustice. And my kids make fun of me. It's so funny. They so make fun of me that the kids now at OCA have joined in, and the kids at, the men and women at Grace University, they also make fun of me of this. If we sit and watch a movie or a TV show, I've prayed that I hate evil, and I annoy my family. I don't mean to, but I do. I see something evil, and I'll say it under my breath because it just so irritates me. Even when I see it in TV, I'm like, I hate evil. Mm-hmm. And I say it so much that the other day, a whole bunch of high school students were at our house, and they were all cracking up and going, I hate evil. And it's like, you know, and so it was like the thing for the night. And it wasn't because we were watching a TV show. It's just because they've learned from my son. And but honestly, we rejoice in truth. Mm. And anything that is unjust or evil, it's not truth. And that is something that we should grieve. And we are told and commanded to hate. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to truth, we should so celebrate it that we rejoice in it.
Sounds a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I was thinking of the angels always rejoicing, too, when somebody's saved. And,
oh, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, heaven, I love that. Says that. I can't even imagine that one part.
One last soul is saved, that right. All of heaven rejoices. Yeah, I like that. To tell a new believer that.
Yeah.
To allow them to see the vastness of God and his many peeps.
He has a lot of peeps.
Okay, so let's do Isaiah 29:19.
Okay. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel.
Okay, let's talk. What does that rejoicing look like there?
It talks about humility.
Mm.
And so mm-hmm. it says rejoicing in the Lord. And so, like, what are you putting your joy in? Mm-hmm. It's a huge theme. Mm.
Because otherwise it's just happiness. Or mm-hmm. It's not joy.
Right. My translation uses the word afflicted for the humble, and it says also will increase in their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice. And I was thinking through that. Okay, every single person is going to face affliction, and every single person is going to be needy. There's no such thing as a person who has not been afflicted and a person who's not been needy. But it's the one who is humble in the affliction and in their need that chooses to rejoice. And it says right here that in their gladness will increase. Mm. So when I am in affliction and when I am in need, that if I choose to rejoice and focus in on the character of God and the never-changing aspects of his character, I will find my gladness will increase. So when I am depressed or low or sad, I can actually change that by reflecting and rejoicing in the Lord.
Right.
I was just, God, you're so good. You're so good. And we'll actually talk more about that later with once we get to the verses about anxiety and worry. Okay, I'd like for us to look at, I'm going to read Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are we to be rejoicing in based on this one? Now may my God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hope. I didn't catch that it was repeated twice until you read it again.
Yep. And he fills us with it. Mm. It's not just a little bit. And many, many years ago at the Open Door Mission, they asked me to come and talk about hope because they use the word hope for the homeless. Mm-hmm. And I took a picture of water in, and I took food coloring, and I had a great big spoon, and the scripture that says stir hope, and I put just like 3 drops of the food coloring, of red food coloring, and I just allowed it to just fall in to the pitcher of water, and so it formed like a streak going down, and I said, but scripture says stir hope. It doesn't say drop hope. It says stir hope. And so I took the spoon and I put it in and I stirred it. And all of a sudden the entire pitcher changed to red liquid. And I said, that's what God wants to do in us. And so when we rejoice in the Lord, that is the stirring of hope. And it permeates the whole being. And it increases our belief. And that's the gift it gives. So when we are rejoicing, we find an increase in our belief. And that's a gift that he gives us, another promise. So the gift of our gladness increasing and the gift of our believing increasing. That just makes me want to cry. Mm-hmm. It's like, why would I not want to rejoice? So rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted in prayer are some of the things that we're getting. So I want you, Zanna, now look up for us Proverbs 24:17. And this one here, and Sandy, I want you to do Psalm 35:19. The Proverbs 24 one, it's a challenge because, I don't know, maybe I'm a sinful person, but sometimes I want to be the one that meets out justice, and God says, you know, revenge is mine, saith the Lord, and he let God be the one to mete out it. And so as we listen to Proverbs 24:17 and rejoicing, let's see what we're challenged to do. Okay, go ahead, Zanna.
Do not gloat when your enemy falls, when he stumbles. Do not let your heart rejoice.
That's good.
Okay. I'm going to read it from my translation so you can hear it, and a different translation so you can hear both. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. So what do we learn about rejoicing?
I feel like it's basically the other side of the coin of the whole idea of rejoicing in the truth. So like here he's like, well, don't rejoice when it's not something that reflects the truth.
Yeah.
And in this circumstance, if somebody stumbles and falls, it could be because they need to.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's
she's got that look.
Okay, let's think. They're making poor choices, and so they have to stumble and fall in order to get up.
Closer to God, yeah.
And so if I rejoice in their falling, I am not following God's plan, because God does not rejoice when we fall. He doesn't rejoice when we stumble. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at this is, think of a little child. When a child is learning to walk, when they're taking those very first steps, does any good parent yell when they take 2 steps and fall?
Mm-mm.
No.
They encourage.
But they encourage. Excited for them when they stand back up.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this reminds me, I am not to rejoice because somebody has stumbled and fallen. And I remind my peeps in my office, when they come in and they've been caught in something they shouldn't have been or whatever. And I said, you understand, this is good. And they're like, what? No, it's not. And I'm like, it is good. And they're like, how's that even possible? And I'm like, because now we can help you stand back up and learn how to walk.
And we all stumble and fall.
We all stumble and fall. Like, yeah. This is one of the things that God is using to help you to learn how to walk the walk.
Yep.
And so this is part of God's goodness and helping us in the process. So not to rejoice at somebody falling and not to rejoice at somebody stumbling. And I'm going to confess my sinfulness. I have been so mad at somebody before in my life that I was very glad and just gloated based on the way her translation said, when they fell, serves them right. And boy, oh boy, right then I went into sin.
Yep.
Because if I was walking in righteousness, it would be, hey, here I am. Let's get back up and let's start walking.
But see, that's
again.
The difference. You recognized the sin and you got back up and confessed. And yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. We can mess this up so bad.
Oh, so easy.
And it's like, so it's kind of like the opposite where the others are telling us to rejoice in the circumstances. This one's telling us, don't you dare. Because if you do, it actually moves into the word gloating. Mm. And that's not good. Okay. Sandy, you do for us Psalm 35:19.
It says, let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause.
Ouch. Okay, so just as I am not supposed to gloat over or rejoice over somebody falling, an enemy falling, or even just a loved one, it is okay for me to pray that the enemy does not rejoice over me. That's an okay prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, stop them in their gloating and allow me to walk. And so I'm going to ask you to help me through this. And so asking God that an enemy not have reign to rejoice over me. And so one of the things I've prayed recently, and I've just lost the verse that I'm doing, but there's an actual verse and it talks about, I pray this over Grace Leadership and I pray it over my church staff. In regards to, it's so funny, we have 30 seconds left, thank you. I actually pray that the enemy accepts the message and that the enemy not have any room to cause them to fall or to rejoice over my leaders. And it's a good thing for us to be praying. So you need to come back because we have so much more we have to cover before we're done with what we have to say about Philippians. God bless.